The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Tuesday morning, Junks listeners, on this foggy Tuesday a.m. I don't know what it was like for you guys driving in, but in my neighborhood,
at least
for the first like 5 minutes of the commute, it was dicey.
Really?
It looked like a scene out of The Mist. I mean, it was very, very thick fog.
Really?
Yeah. But by the time I got to the Beltway and like the B Dubs Parkway,
it was fine. Yeah.
But man, getting out of my neighborhood, it was like, all right, if there's a deer in the road, then I'm boned.
I think there was. I think the Beltway closed down because of the.
There was an accident somewhere like around University Boulevard.
Right.
Maybe it was caused by the fog.
It was caused by the fog, and they closed the entire loop down.
Yeah.
When I would drive in Ithaca every weekend, for whatever reason, maybe it's because it's elevated, there's always like 45 minutes outside that town, there's always just fog at night. It is treacherous.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like you could guarantee they were always going to be foggy.
Yep.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't understand weather conditions. I don't understand it.
It's all dew point. It's all atmospheric moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it'll burn off. It'll be fine.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Do that today.
Mm-hmm.
Any updates on them helping out your mom with her major plumbing issue?
Well, because it was raining yesterday, Crop postponed coming out till today.
Okay, got it.
I believe one of my brothers, I think my brother Chad's going to let them in around 8:30.
Very
and I think they may do the whole the backhoe bit.
Excellent.
Which means they're going to tear that yard apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Might need to get a landscaper in after that. Patch things up.
I mean, it's
a big ordeal. That's
a big job.
Yeah, certainly.
When you redo the plumbing
in a house. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, they've been unbelievable. Thank you to Ben Kelly and everybody over there at Crop. They're just great.
Yep.
They're so responsive.
So yesterday.
It's a great relationship we have.
Oh, an amazing relationship. The huge news was the capture of the suspect in the United Healthcare CEO shooting.
I was one day off.
You guys should have taken my bet. I was very confident and brash that
he'd be able to escape.
Luigi Mangione, not escape, but at least evade detection. For about another week.
Guys chilling in McDonald's.
Yeah, just hanging out at McDonald's in a place I'm somewhat familiar with, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Right. Right.
I mean, I guess you just want to try to get as far away from the scene of the crime as you can. And look, I mean, the guys, I'm assuming he was like hopping on buses or had limited resources when it came to vehicles. So the furthest he got was Altoona, PA.
I was
280 miles west of New York.
I bought into the report that he jumped on the bus right after the murder and went south, went back to Atlanta where he apparently came from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's been all over the place. I mean, we'll get into it. But
they said he was startled. He didn't realize, like, he didn't think he was going to get busted.
So I was assuming he was further south.
Yeah.
I had no idea that he just took a bus to Altoona.
Was he having McDonald's breakfast? Do we know what?
He had a coffee. He was on, I think he was on a computer.
Big
maybe?
Cup of Joe. He was definitely on a computer.
And he was having coffee.
Props I guess one to, of the employees like saw him. And,
well, a customer saw him customer and told the employee. Yeah.
Got it.
And the employees called the cops. Mm-hmm. So props to them for noticing.
Yeah.
Crazy. You imagine but how many people with like bushy eyebrows the people potentially were calling the cops on. I mean,
I guess so.
But he's Dunsky. And they got him quick.
Yeah, but we
got
to figure out more. I need more information. I need way more information on this dude. I mean, I read some of the alleged manifesto that was leaked. Who knows if that was actually his or not? What an interesting guy, though. Gilman School, Towson, Maryland.
Tiger Pride.
You know, Penn grad with two degrees.
To Towson. I guess he's from that area.
He's from Towson, Maryland.
Yeah.
Worked at Stanford.
I mean,
did an internship out there.
Obviously a really bright guy, but he's like citing Ted Kaczynski, really angry. If that manifesto I read was his. And I guess his mother had some debilitating back pain issues that were, he was very upset with United Healthcare and not covering. He had his own back issues. I guess some people say he went off the grid for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at like his Instagram. They've scrubbed it all, but people record everything, so you can find it. But you see, you know, he's got like friends and, you know, good looking guy. You know, normal friends. It seems like. You know, at the beach or whatever.
Yeah, everyone said he was normal.
Then he just
didn't go out to the bars a bunch, apparently, but he, you know, he had a bunch of good friends.
Valedictorian. How many valedictorians go around commit homicide?
You can be a valedictorian and have mental breakdowns and issues like anybody else.
True, Cakes, but it's a little less likely to happen to a valedictorian, I would say.
Yeah, maybe.
Something turned and switched in this guy's brain. Because he was just a normal kid. He had a great future in front of him, highly educated, and then he went nuts.
Well, if he's indeed the guy, he's a piece of garbage.
He's
going to spend the rest of his life
in
jail.
They got the same ID that he used in the hostel.
I mean,
they found
a black 3D printed pistol and a printed black silencer in his backpack.
I don't think there's any doubt he's the guy, but I just need more information on how he got to that point.
Man, in this photo, I guess this is his latest photo, but he looks just like Zac Efron.
You think he does?
In this photo, he does. He looks a lot like Zac Efron.
I'm just bitter he's from Maryland. He just gives Maryland guys a bad name.
You see, he wet himself. Like he's in. If you see, like, there's a photo of him arrested, and in his jeans, it's just stain all around his zipper.
Well, he knows he's Dunsky.
Yeah, so at some point, he wet himself. Now, maybe they just wouldn't let him go to the bathroom, and he just had to, you know, who knows?
Possibly.
But you could see he definitely wet himself.
I'd have to.
Or he's just anxious.
Even if I were arrested by the police, I wouldn't go to the bathroom in my pants.
Well, what if they don't let you go? I mean, what if they say, sorry, buddy, you can't, you know, and you're just an angry guy?
If it's a dire emergency, then I guess I have to relieve myself at some point.
Yeah, maybe, you know, obviously the guy's an angry guy.
I would say officer.
Well, I got to say this.
Use the bathroom?
He's pretty stupid because he's highly educated, intelligent, but he's stupid because he's the most wanted man in the country and he's chilling in a public place without a mask.
No, they said he had a mask on.
I thought he did not have a mask. No, he had a medical mask on.
Yeah, one of those dumb
recognized eyebrows.
But still, I mean, what is he doing in a public place? If you're going to try and get away from the cops.
Hide in plain sight.
I mean, at some point, you need to get away. At some point, you got to eat. You have to move around. Like, you can't always just move around without being detected. Like, if he's moving around during the day, he's going to be spotted by people.
Yeah. He should have thought this out better and had provisions.
He can't be in a McDonald's.
I understand that was a bad choice. McDonald's are heavily trafficked, tons of people.
And you kind of have to get as far away as possible from where you committed the crime. And Altoona ain't that far from New York.
Yeah, I mean, it's like almost 300 miles.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like a personal driver. He was just trying to get wherever he could, however he could.
I know. He just didn't.
He got 300 miles away.
He didn't think it through.
Oh, you just can't treat a McDonald's like an internet cafe.
I agree.
That was pretty dumb.
He's a clown. As smart as he is, the fact he went to Penn, that doesn't mean anything. He has no common sense.
Also,
he's a killer, allegedly.
Another point on the scoreboard of never go inside, always use the drive-thru.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And always use the app. My son kills me for not using the app.
What does that do? Just accumulate points?
Yeah, it just gives you deals all the time.
Yeah.
You just open your app, there's always
a pre-recorded message.
It's like, you want free hash browns? Oh, you have free fries? I never use it. I just sleep all the time.
The greatest bonus, this is a side thing, the greatest sort of bonus points we get in terms of retail shopping is CVS. CVS always is pretty accumulate good. Stuff on CVS. I go there and I pay for nothing.
They always ask, like, do you want to use this $10 coupon?
Yeah, I'm
like,
of course.
Yeah, please, let me do that.
Yeah.
Please apply that to my purchase.
Give me all the points.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It's weird. I think more information got to come out because, you know, it's at one point he goes like, sorry, he just, or like, didn't want to cause distress to people, but it had to be done. And he had to, like, you know, so he knew he was doing wrong. He knew he was doing evil. And I basically think he knew he was giving up his life, but he thought he had to do it for the larger point.
He thought it was a noble cause, like what he was doing.
Right. So I
wonder if he realizes
he's just a coward that shot a dude in the back.
How awful his life is going to be from this day forward.
I don't know that he's quite thought that through.
He ain't going to last long.
Maybe he'll kill himself.
He ain't going to last long in Rikers.
Maybe he'll kill himself.
Oof, I don't know how he's going to do that.
Just hang yourself.
It's not that easy to do.
I think you just hang yourself.
I think he may be, if he's in the Gen Pop, I would assume he's going to be a popular. He's going to be a popular dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 20 abs in the one picture I saw of him when he was like with a backpack and no shirt. He literally had 20 abs.
Hey, that body doesn't eat McDonald's.
Yeah, it's not adding up. It's a very good point.
You can eat like that when you're young. He's still young. Was he like 25?
26, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 26.
God, why couldn't he be a Virginia guy? He had to be a guy from Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Towson at that.
Towson guy.
Yep.
I was praying it was Towson University. I was praying.
Gilman students usually don't go to Towson.
Yeah, they probably matriculate
went to Gilman,
elsewhere.
Like Ehrlich went to Gilman.
It's a very prestigious school.
Uh-huh.
You know what? They're gonna downplay that he's one of their grads going forward. He's not gonna be in
downplay.
He's never gonna reference it. Your alumni update letters.
That sucks when you got to scrub your valedictorian from the history.
Erase him from the halls.
Yeah, erased.
That gets bumped down on his what he's done in his life.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so much.
And he's got a popular family up there. I guess he's got a cousin who's a
delegate,
Republican delegate up there.
Mm-hmm. I read his father owns like golf courses.
Yeah. His dad like owns Turf Valley.
Turf Valley, swanky.
Yeah, and Hayfield's Country Club.
Mm. Man, just to throw away that kind of privilege is wild.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, you can't even comprehend. There's got to be more information. We got to find out.
Well, he went missing in like the last few months. His family recently
off the grid.
Yeah, I mean,
he went mental. He went mental.
I just need more information. It's that simple for me.
It'll come out.
I don't know what that means. Everybody wants more information, but
I don't know. I just need more information.
Is like a grander scheme here.
You
read the manifesto.
Set up.
I read it. I just need more information. How he got influenced. I just need more. That's all.
If there was anybody else who influenced him,
just relax over there. I'm not saying there's some conspiracy. I just want more information. That's all.
Yeah, you'll get it.
I want to find out more because I don't know how you throw away that kind of life. You know, it's wild. So I want to know. It's got to be more than just my mom was in pain and they didn't. It's got to be more to it.
It's right here. It's in the brain. Yeah. Ted Kaczynski was a professor at Cal Berkeley.
No, I understand.
Had a great life.
I'm very aware.
And he decided, I hate life.
Hate technology.
I'm going to go live in a cabin with no running water. Mm-hmm. And then I hate everybody in the world because they like technology. I'm going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what this guy's doing.
He sounds really weird.
He's a Kaczynski wannabe.
He's quoted him. He might even have quoted him in his valedictorian speech.
Mm.
Which is the weirdest thing ever.
I don't know if I'm quoting the Unabomber in my valedictorian speech. That's a weird bit.
You know, they say
stay away from that.
He's an anti-capitalist. Meanwhile, your father owns Turf Valley.
Yeah.
Come on. How can you be raised that way and be an anti-capitalist?
Pro-capitalist right here.
Must hate his parents. Must hate his parents.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
He's the ultimate capitalist. I don't know, man.
It's just a strange story. Why someone just would fall off the grid and then turn to murder.
Yeah. And then so the family, I know they say he went off the grid, so no one kind of knew where he was. Is that really true? Like, the family had no idea?
He was in Hawaii, and then he went to Japan from Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know what happened after that.
Right.
Yeah.
Somehow he got indoctrinated into a weird thing.
Well, he's a loser, and he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail. That's basically what's going to happen to him.
I think he's going to kill himself.
He may. I don't know.
Yeah. Because you can't. I mean, what are you going to do? You have this privilege. Now you're just going to eat prison food for the next 65 years.
He should have done that before the cops got to him.
Yeah. We'll see.
Should have done that right in the McDonald's.
And then I saw I didn't click on the video, but I saw the images of Jack Del Rio hammered. Did you see the images?
I saw him like in the back of the squad car.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks atrocious.
Is this the one from a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
I mean, I guess he's begging the guy because he also has to take a leak.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you drink 20 Miller Lights or whatever he had that night to get into that state, you generally have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And trust me, from being in that state back in my college days, a lot of times I would go to the bathroom wherever. Like, the kitchen all of a sudden became the bathroom a couple times.
The kitchen sink?
Not the sink.
No.
The floor.
The floor. Oh, okay. You were that sloppy.
Yeah. So
okay.
My roommates weren't the happiest with me when they
you're one of those guys
came into that scene.
Anything with a lid, you were maybe going to go pee.
Or just anywhere. It didn't really matter.
Right.
Proudest moment, but I can understand both the alleged shooter and Jack Del Rio's plight.
Mm. You know what's so funny is that I have this image of Del Rio. I'll just never forget it. I think it was when we were in Florida. I don't remember if it was Tampa or Miami. And we were one of those NFLPA parties. And you remember one where they had like, it was like an alligator or something there and cake and Del Rio was standing over there, glad-handing everybody, just, handsome guy, 20 years ago, just off peak of his playing career, great shape, and just schmoozing, and just like, and you just looked at him, you went, man, what a good-looking guy, what a life this guy's living. And meanwhile, he's just drunk.
Yeah, he's a drunkard.
He's a drunk.
Getting like blackout drunk at, how old is he? Late 50s?
Probably late 50s.
Yeah, he's probably like 56, 57.
Yeah. I mean, he looked so good 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Off his career.
Sure.
He looked so good and just had the life of the party.
Yeah.
And now he's in the back of the squad car.
61.
Making pee-pee.
Gotcha. That's what happens when you work for Ron Rare for a bunch of years and you just, you're kind of at the end of the line.
Right. Yeah.
Professionally, at least.
Right.
Yeah. It's over for him. He's got money, though. He should be fine.
He's fine.
No, I mean, he likes to booze it up.
I mean, he'll be fine, but he's clearly got a problem because he's had a few incidents with alcohol.
Oh, he's got a problem.
Yeah, he's definitely got a problem.
All right, lots to get to on a Tuesday Junks show. Coming up this hour at 6:40, actually, David Sampson, former MLB executive, he'll join us. We'll talk to him about the Juan Soto mega deal and more. And Brian Robinson from your Washington Commanders, he's scheduled to join us at 9 o'clock as they prepare to take on the New Orleans Saints coming out of the bye week. When we come back, we'll recap Monday Night Football between the Bengals and the Cowboys. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free audio Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So last night, the Bengals take on the Cowboys in Monday Night Football. Bengals come away with a 27-20 win. Both teams are now 5-8 on the season. Dallas 1-6 at AT&T Stadium this season. Home has not been very kind to the Cowboys. Joe Burrow, a huge night, 33 of 44, passes for 369, 3 touchdowns, just 1 pick.
I mean, if his team was in the playoffs and he was, had a winning record, if they were 8-5 instead of 5-8, he would squarely be in the MVP conversation, if not the leader. He's on pace for 42 touchdowns.
Ja'Marr Chase just erupted last night, 14 catches, 177 yards. 2 touchdowns in the win. He's first in the league in receptions, yardage, and touchdowns for wide receivers. Pretty good.
Triple, that guy should get
triple threat right
as
there.
As big of a contract as he wants.
Well, he's certainly establishing the baseline for being the top paid wideout. And a lot of people are talking about, T. Higgins is going to get a monster payday during the offseason because he's a free agent, and he should, but Jamar Chase
needs to get paid.
He needs to make more.
I love the 18 targets.
Yeah.
Just a hugely impactful player.
That's what you do. You got a talent like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Terry is that kind of talent, but he's our best player.
In his 4 years in the league, he's had 81 catches, 87, 100, and then 93 so far. He still has four games left. So he's on pace for, 125 catches, something like that. And he's got a total of 44 touchdowns in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
But it's basically two teams going nowhere fast. I mean, they're both 5-8.
They would need
to win out and get a lot of help, obviously, along the way from other teams losing.
But they're not a team you want to play. They're not
the Bengals?
They're not a team you want to play down the stretch.
No, definitely not. They have loads of offensive firepower on that team.
Let's see who they play the rest of the way. They play the Titans, the Browns, the Broncos, and the Steelers. They might call. Maybe they can cause some problems for the Broncos in Week 17. But they should beat the Titans and Browns, so they should get to 7-8. But they're not going to make the playoffs.
And Dallas had an opportunity to potentially win the game when they blocked a kick, but then one of the special teamers fumbled the scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals get the ball back. They score. Game over.
Isn't it funny how they? They won the commander game because of special teams, and then they lose this game because of a special teams gaffe that set up the game-winning touchdown for the Bengals to Chase.
Who was it that said, somebody of note, was it Brady? Somebody said that they thought that McCarthy will actually be back. Might have been Brady.
Maybe, I don't know.
He said, or somebody, they said, short of them hiring Belichick, it's not a horrific point. Who's going to have a better resume than Mike McCarthy that you could bring in?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Jerry Jones sticks with him for at least one more season.
I know Drabby was upset that the Cowboys lost because he was arguing a couple weeks ago that they could go on a run and get to the playoffs. That special teams gaffe, were you watching that live?
Yeah, I stayed up for it. I definitely was not upset that the Cowboys lost. I just thought it was interesting that they could have because they played a bunch of bad teams.
Look,
the Bengals aren't good either. I don't think the Bengals are good.
Bengals are one-sided.
That dummy doesn't try to scoop up the ball like he's Leon Lett or something. The Cowboys win that game.
They get the ball at midfield, probably.
With under 2 minutes, 2 minutes left midfield.
Yep.
Yeah, the game's over.
Yeah, they botched it.
But that's why they have three or four wins, or whatever it is.
They've got five wins.
Five and eight. They suck.
Cowboys are kind of similar to the Commanders in that CeeDee Lamb, he needs a real legitimate number two to help him out, kind of like Terry McLaurin does here in Washington. I mean, you look at Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert. I mean, are any of those guys like considered number two wideouts?
No.
Not really.
No.
Like they need to go into the draft or free agency and bring in another guy to take some of the pressure off of CeeDee Lamb. Like the Commanders need to find a guy to pair up with Terry McLaurin going forward. I don't think Noah Brown is that guy. I think he's been a nice add, a guy who's just out on the street, but I don't think he's a guy that's going to catch 60 balls in a season.
Oh, I think they're going to be in the market.
A real impact type of player.
I think they'll be in the market for some help.
And
there.
Dallas needs one of those guys.
Dallas does. They also need some help in the secondary.
Yeah,
because they've been burned not just by Jamar Chase, who's the best in the league, but they've been burned routinely by good passing offenses.
Right.
So I think that they're going to be in the market for wideout help and some secondary.
Who may pick that secondary part next week? Guy who's been on the rise since he came off of the injury list. His name's Adam Thielen.
That's true. They play in Carolina.
Look at what he's done for Bryce Young over the past two or three weeks since he's come off the injury list. He's been a good target for Bryce Young. Now, he's not sexy. He's not a big splashy player type of guy, but he's a solid wideout.
There's going to be some really interesting games in the last few weeks, especially in the NFC, because Washington's trying to hold these other teams off for that final wild card spot. With eight wins, they're going to play the Saints with a backup quarterback. Even though it's on the road, you still have to win that game. And then, teams like the Falcons and the Rams and the Cardinals and then, the Seahawks who are currently leading the NFC West, You know, if they lose a couple, they could be trailing the Rams, and they could be in that wild card mix too.
Who did the Seahawks have down the stretch? Let me see.
The Seahawks, Packers, last four.
Vikings. Bears,
Rams. Yeah. That Ram game might be for the division.
It actually looks like a tough stretch. Like, you know, it's, yeah. That's a tough stretch.
Sounds like they're
not
like
to say they won't do well, but yeah. That's a tough stretch.
Like they're an NFC North team. It's like three of the last four NFC North.
There's no
opponents.
Gimmies. Maybe Chicago. I don't know.
The Vikings certainly aren't a gimme.
Yeah. I don't think the Packers are a gimme. I don't think the Rams are a gimme.
Wow. Did anyone watch the Rams? Simpsons? Definitely aren't. The Simpsons altcast?
I saw clips of it.
Who was it? When you say the Simpsons, like actually like the Simpsons?
Homer Simpson. Yeah. Lisa Homer, Simpson, Bart.
Oh. Mo, yeah. Barney Gumble, Lisa.
You didn't see the animation of Lisa Simpson running down the sideline
as Jamar,
as Chase Brown, I believe, on his touchdown where he was like tight roping the sideline.
No,
you missed that somehow.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it.
I'm not the biggest Simpson mark, so I didn't really pay that close attention to it.
Massive Simpson mark.
The Simpsons clearly funny, and I mean the longevity is crazy. It's been around for like 30 plus years. But
the technology is ridiculous that they can mimic every single play.
Yeah, it's just motion capture, right? In the players' pads.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
I watched it for about 20 minutes. And first off, it's actually watching a game like behind the quarterback, like it's Madden.
Yeah.
It's a way better, Brody. It's way better to see like what's going
angle.
On.
Than, yeah.
You can't tell anything from the side angle. But it was stupid. After about 10, 15 minutes, I'm like, all right, I got it.
Yeah, you said this is enough.
Go watch the real people.
Give me real football, please.
It's weird how regular football that we're watching, and again, I don't play video games anymore. I wish I did because they're fun, but I haven't played in years. But like they're morphing. It's a hard time. I'm having a hard time sometimes distinguishing between like a video game and the real game.
Yeah, yeah,
the
sure.
camera angles and everything that they're doing now. But... Whatever. I've just never been a Simpsons guy. It's something, a shocker, that I know you guys can't believe.
You're not into animated fare?
Maybe that's why.
I'm sure that's a big
part of it. I wasn't a South Park guy. I wasn't a Simpsons guy.
You're not into animated
series.
I like
the Flintstones.
Okay, but you were five when you were watching the Flintstones.
But if I liked that when I was a kid, why wouldn't I like that later when I was an adult? Well,
sometimes you grow out of things that you like as a kid.
I guess.
Sometimes you don't, but sometimes you do.
After like the 13th season, the Simpsons kind of goes downhill.
Yeah, after you watch 13 seasons before you're like, I might have had enough.
All right, this was, you guys will
mock me. I get sized for the Simpsons.
Can I ask you a question then? Do they have a theme? Like, is there sort of like a running joke that they always do? Or is there always like a common theme? Like, what's the kind of the main theme of The Simpsons?
Family dysfunction.
Family dysfunction.
Yeah.
I mean, at the beginning of every episode, there's Bart. Bart is at the chalkboard and he writes out a wacky message on the chalkboard. It's different every time.
Every episode they do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
No idea.
See, now you know.
I'm not sure. I watched five minutes of it.
Sideshow Bob always tries to kill Bart.
Every episode.
Not every episode, but
a running gag.
The running gag.
All right, I'm just wondering.
Homer falling asleep at the switches at the nuclear power plant.
They have the Treehouse of Horrors every Halloween.
Mm. Is Bart smart? Is he stupid?
Bart is a troublemaker.
Yeah, he's a troublemaker.
He's a troublemaker.
All right, is Homer stupid?
Yes.
Homer's butt stupid.
I'll give you, Eric, I know we have to take a break here.
I won't know the answer.
$2 American, if you can give me the name of the town of that's the setting for The Simpsons. I'll even give you a hint. It's the name of a real town in Virginia.
Lorton.
Close.
Springfield.
Yeah, Springfield.
You're finished. $2
I no idea.
Safe.
No. I don't know anything about it. And so, and Homer's wife is
Marge.
And was she stupid?
No.
No. What color's her hair?
Yellow.
Blue. She's yellow, blue hair.
Yeah. Sorry.
Marge Bouvier.
What's Marge's characteristic about her?
What do you mean?
Like,
what's her thing? She's the mom.
She's just the mom.
She's the mom.
She's not doesn't have a big role in the thing. Like,
no, she has a big role. But
she always like horrified by her dumb husband?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
EB, I will give you all of these
I won't $2 get bills. It. Just save your money. Save
and
your question.
The ones in the envelope. If you can name the Simpsons dog.
He just
dog.
Wants to show that he
the
knows.
Dog? Name the Simpsons dog.
So annoying.
The dog, Fido.
Valdez is going to tell
That's
you.
That's Santa's little helper.
Yeah, Santa, you're not going to know that.
That's the name?
It was a racing greyhound.
That's the name of the dog. Yeah.
So dumb.
All right, we got to take a break. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Juan Soto deal with the Mets with David Sampson, former MLB executive. He'll join us next on The Fan. Later in the show, we'll talk Commanders football with Brian Robinson. He'll join us at 9 a.m. as he does every week during the NFL season. Right now, though, we're happy to reconnect with a guest who's joined us many times over the years, David Sampson, former MLB executive. He's the host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, wherever you find podcasts. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, David.
Good morning. How you doing today?
We're doing well. So were you taken aback and or surprised when you saw the mega deal that Juan Soto signed with the New York Mets? It's not very often that guys who play for the Yankees then choose to go sign with the Mets. But when $765 million is plunked into your lap, guaranteed, none of it deferred, it's hard to turn that deal down.
I definitely wasn't surprised. He had been telling us he was going to do this since he was 19 years old, basically. When you hire Scott Boras, this is your plan. You are going to get to free agency. And when you are asked to sign a $440 million deal with the Nationals and you say, I'd like to get to free agency. And then when Hal Steinbrenner says, I'd like to negotiate with you during the season, would that be okay? And you say, I'd like to get to free agency. Then he gets to free agency, and then taking the highest bid, boy, that seems like the normal thing to do in free agency. So I wasn't surprised at all that Stevie Cohn couldn't let him go. He had his eye on Soto as the answer to his five-year plan prayers, which he stated when he bought the team, which was to win a World Series within 5 years. So he's in year five, and this is a player who he thinks is going to help him.
Any idea? Well, we've kind of read what the Yankees offer was, and the Yankees offer was huge too. I mean, it was monstrous. But any idea what the Blue Jays and Red Sox offers were?
No, and it's interesting. I would say that it's likely that the Red Sox and Blue Jays each knew they had to get above $700 million because I've negotiated with Boras before, and Boras isn't going to take an extra call if he doesn't think that your team is in at least the neighborhood. But don't focus so much on what the final number is as reported. That's like saying Ohtani signed a $700 million contract, but he didn't because of all the deferrals. You have to discount it back. So the reason I say this is you have to look and see in what years people were planning on paying Soto. And the Mets deal had a lot of money up front, a $75 million signing bonus, reportedly up to $120 million in the first year. And when you do the calculation of no further deferrals, you could easily see under an agreed-upon calculation that their deal was just so significantly more in current-day dollars than any other team who would even say, hey, listen, we're above 700, but we're going to pay it deep into the 2040s.
It's just crazy to think about how much money he's going to make when he's, you know, in his late 30s. All right, so what does this do for the Mets? I mean, they've got, I mean, Alonso's a free agent. I don't know. I mean, Cohen doesn't care. I mean, I know that he probably wants to focus more on pitching. I mean, they got a freaking tough division. You still got to beat the Phillies and Braves. But what does this do for the Mets? Are they hindered in terms of additional moves? They clearly have the offense now, but what do they do at first base with Alonso? And then are they going to be looking for more arms in free agency?
Yeah, I'll just push back and say that I've tried this. I've tried to win a pennant in December at the winter meetings, even in Dallas specifically in 2011. And it turns out you actually have to play the games.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of examples of teams who have the best player in baseball who don't win, like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout when they were with the Angels. The reason the Dodgers were able to win the World Series is they had depth and unexpected production from all sorts of places on the field. And then they had an unbelievable addition of Walker Buehler post-injury who pitched fantastically for them during the playoffs and World Series. So there's so much that has to be done. But if you're Steve Cohen, you can't stop at just Soto and say, oh, Clay Holmes will anchor our rotation.
Right.
It really doesn't work that way. You need a front line starter. And you could say it's Senga, but boy, you better hope there's no more injuries, which is hard to count on. So I think depth is required.
David, take us through a negotiation with Scott Boras. You touched on it. How many deals have you done with him? What's it like being in the room with him? Is it more intimidating being in there with him as opposed to other agents? What's it like in negotiating against Boras?
I imagine a lot of it's over the phone, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been on the phone with him many, many times and in the same room negotiating with him. The phone one is an easy one. You just put the phone down and then go about your day. Because he just talks, he doesn't even leave room for anyone to say a word. And in person, you just pretend to read the book they prepared on how great the player is. Mm. He prepares these big books, like a treatise about why this player is the player of your dreams. Man, he's the one who will get you over the hump and your octogenarian owner will finally get his ring, that sort of conversation. Mm-hmm. So he really plays to the owner's emotions. He talks about the generational talent, how these players never come around. But, of course, he brings around a different player the next year, sometimes even the same season. So you just have to know that he's putting on a show for his client and for the media. And GMs and presidents really ignore it, actually. They don't get intimidated by it or pay attention to it. You really negotiate. The true negotiation is with yourself and your owner. When you look at your team and you put your team together and you think about where your payroll can be and where it will be in the future with a contract that you'd be signing today, that's where a majority of the time gets spent, actually.
So we know he represents all these superstars and he gets these massive deals. Give us some of the deals, though, where maybe, I mean, we know a lot of times at the back end of these deals that they don't work out, but where they've just been total busts. Like, how often is Boras out there and he's just faking you out with, like, a player that's nowhere near the caliber of the kind of money he's asking for?
Well, I'll just tell you about the bust that I did. One of my biggest busts was with Chen. He told us that if we match him with Jose Fernandez, we'll have a 1-2 punch, and he had a great season with Baltimore. He was so good in the American League East. You put him in the National League East, and he'll dominate, and just a whole book about it. But we wanted another pitcher. We needed someone at the upper end of the rotation. We thought he'd give us innings. The thing is that you really don't pay attention to what he's selling because you know the player. It's not like when you're being sold something that you've never seen before or mm-hmm. don't understand, and therefore you need it explained by the salesperson. If I were to go out and buy a semiconductor chip, I would really need to be sold and pay attention to what it is because I don't understand it. But I understand a second baseman or a pitcher or a right fielder or left fielder. So I want to again reiterate, it's not Boras's job, nor do we think that it is his job. He does, but it's not his job to explain to us why we want his player. We know why we want his player. It's just a matter of whether we can come to agreement on how we value the player versus how he values the player. And then the last step is the way we value the player, how does that rank with the way other teams value the player? And very often, there is a disagreement between how teams value a player. And in Soto's case, there wasn't as big a disagreement because a player at the top end like that, pretty much all 30 teams value him the same way. They just can't all afford to pay him.
So, but can you give me some other names? Like, who are some of his massive busts, sort of, that just weren't anywhere near besides Chen? Can you, do any pop up? Are they like, you know, legendary deals that blew up?
For a team, look at what happened when he brought A-Rod to the Rangers. That was a massive bust. They had to trade him a few years later, and he didn't make a difference for the team at all. And they traded him to the Yankees, you know, 3 or 4 years later. There are plenty of times.
Strasburg's an example, too. Yeah, the guys are pointing out. Yeah.
So that's not, he wasn't a free agent. That's another funny example to talk about where he was an extension as he was hitting free agency, and he got Ted Lerner, and rest in peace. Mm-hmm. He said, with this ring, I thee wed. You got a World Series ring. Pay up. And it was just a totally irrational signing that impacted the franchise for years. And players generally are what they are. And Strasburg was hurt, and he had a moment of glory at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. And Boras took advantage of an owner who was – willing to get taken advantage of, sadly.
What do you make of? I'm sorry, Jason. What do you make of Rendon? Like, he was such a monster here. And then I think he's another one that he got him a massive deal for. And he almost just seems like he's miserable.
Well, it's not that he seems it. He says it.
Yeah.
And he's not only did it can't be good. I'll say one thing for him. It can't be fun to be hurt all the time.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But there's different ways you should act. I've been of the opinion that he should have been released long ago because he just takes the whole clubhouse down with that sort of negative energy around him. That's a big bust. But on the other hand, when you look at the season he had, I could see why a desperate Artie Moreno would say, hey, let's spend money. Let's bring in the best position player available. Let's match him up with the other great players I have and see if I can finally win something. And, of course, Boris was saying, hey, you've got this, man. All you need is Rendon. He's your last piece. Oh, by the way, next year I'll have a pitcher for you.
Hey, real quick, we want to ask you about the Nats, but before we do that, any thoughts on the top free agents now that Soto's off the board, the Corbin Burns, the Alex Bregmans, Max Fried, you know, guys like that? Where do you see some of these guys landing? I guess it's speculation, but your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of people who are speculating that the Yankees will have to have a plan B that will involve a top flight starting pitcher. And that the Mets aren't going to be finished either, and there's only a few of these quote-unquote top free agents. If I'm Corbin Burns, I am just sitting back and I'm letting offers come to me by desperate teams who think that top-of-the-line pitching is what they desire. So I'm in no rush. I know people thought that Soto signing would open the floodgate, but you've got teams who had allocated money for Soto. And once they don't get Soto, they need to figure out how to reallocate that money. And that doesn't necessarily happen overnight because until he signs with the Mets, you think, hey, he could choose me. Why wouldn't he? Because you think you're cool and you have a great city and a great team. So then you sort of double back during the winter meetings and sit down with your staff and figure out what's next. There's plenty of time before spring training. There's no great rush for people at the top end to sign, which is one of the issues in baseball. It takes away the excitement. But I think they'll all sign. It's not going to be a position where they'll be into spring training without signing, but I think the teams have to take a breath.
We're joined by David Sampson, former MLB executive, host of the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast. Can you see the Nats loosening the purse strings when it comes to the payroll? Do you see the learners paying more going forward? As of right now, only $32 million allocated for the 2025 payroll. Will they get back to those levels where they were like 2019 through 2021, where they were top six or seven in the league when it comes to MLB payroll? Now they're down around 25 or 26.
Yeah, I don't see a path to that right now. I think at the end of the day, that's a franchise that's going to be sold. And I think that you don't want to put too many constraints on that, too many big contracts that could become albatrosses, that could become deductions in franchise sales price. I think the revenue that they thought was coming has really not. Post-World Series, I feel badly for them. They didn't get the post-World Series bump that other teams get because of COVID. And I would tell you that the broadcast revenue that they used to get, which was in dispute for all those years, it's almost all settled now. But the reality is that Masson is not nearly worth what it was. It's not throwing off the cash the way that it was. It's not the asset that it was. And it impacts payroll. It impacts it not just in Washington, but in many other cities. Like the Cardinals are cutting back their payroll because they just don't have the broadcast revenue they used to, or the attendance, frankly, and that's where Washington is now. So I don't see a path right now back to a top five payroll in the immediate future.
David, thanks as always for the time. We appreciate it, man. We'll have you on again soon.
Looking forward. Have a great day.
Thank you, bud. David Sampson, former MLB executive, host of the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast. You can find that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, we will hit the skins as the Commanders prepare to take on the New Orleans Saints coming out of the bye week.